This is Ask Pastor John. Settle in for a few minutes here as John Piper wrestles with questions of life and death, theology and practical wisdom, joy and suffering. What did Christianity say about the eternal state of our body that was different from the beliefs prevalent as Paul was making his missionary journeys?
Well, one of the beliefs prevalent came from Plato and the Greek view of the body as a necessary and temporary evil that imprisons the spirit and the soul. And as soon as we can shed this body and our spirits fly free, we will have reached a more perfect state than we presently have in these bodies. That is profoundly different than the way that God designed us and the way the Bible describes us. The body is not a mere prison of the spirit which wants to get free. The body is the means by which the spirit, the soul, the heart expresses itself in visible activity in the material world, and God wants to be made glorious in our bodies. The Apostle Paul prays in, or at least longs in, Philippians 1, 19 and 20, "Oh, that I might magnify Christ in my body, whether by life or by death." So the body is a God-given instrument for magnifying Christ. If we lose the body forever, we lose a God-ordained instrument for making much of God. And therefore, the future of the body in the New Testament is the body will be redeemed. It dies, it goes into the grave, it decomposes, and when Christ returns, He raises the body. He gives it a body. He gives us a body like His great spiritual body. He reunites our personality to the body. He makes it whole and complete, wipes away every disease, every depression, every discouragement, and we enter a new heaven, a new earth with this body, and therefore it becomes an instrument of praise forever. So it's huge. You can't say that the body, like the Greeks did or the Platonists did, is a prison or a drag or a necessary evil. It's not at all. It's an instrument of worship.
John, I've been asked, why is the decay even necessary? If God's going to redeem and heal us anyway, why doesn't He begin now? How would you answer that?
I suppose that's part of the larger question of why there is a history of redemption at all. Why is there a process? Why is there a history? Why didn't He just create Adam and Eve? If they fell, just kill them, start over again, get it right this time, and have a redeemed humanity with no millennia-long struggle with sin and corruption. Why didn't He do it that way? He could have. He's going to snap His finger and put evil out of existence on this earth someday. He's going to snap His finger and make us completely holy someday. If He can do it someday, He can do it now. And so why this long, drawn-out spiritual battle with sin and physical battle with disease? And I think the answer is there are things God wants to reveal about Himself, about the nature of sin and its depth and depravity, about the nature of His own patience, His own love, His own wisdom, that will better be displayed by a long history of redemption and a lifetime of struggling toward holiness out of sin than if He had simply, in an instant, taken all my sin away and made me holy the day I got converted, or taken all of redemptive history away and made humanity holy 1 hour after Adam and Eve fell. God believes and plans that there be a battle, a long history of redemption, and a long battle in every individual's life, because in that battle, elements of His glory, His patience, His wisdom, His love, His kindness, His wrath, His justice get displayed in ways they would not be displayed if He had done it the instantaneous way.
God intoxicated and Bible Saturated. You will find an ever-growing source of materials from John Piper aiming to embody those phrases at desiringgod.org. Come browse our online resource library, and perhaps you'll learn to enjoy God as you never have before. www.desiringgod.org or call 888-346-4700.